GameCube, best of the Wii, first party games. This is number 5. We're talking about the Metroid Prime trilogy and Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. I'm Zachary Miller, here with Dr. Jonathan Metz.
Howdy, folks.
I think we're probably the two biggest Metroid fanboys on the site.
Okay.
So I thought it would be a good idea to have Johnny on. Johnny, tell us about Corruption. I know you played it probably before anyone else.
Well, that's true, Zach. I played it back at E3 2006 when the Wii was first shown and playable to the press. Had an interview with Retro Studios that year where they talked about it at some length, and at that time they were planning for it to be a Wii launch title. Now, we were, I'll say, a little incredulous that that would actually happen because it's a very big, complex game. And seemed to be very, you know, high production quality, seemed to be doing a lot of interesting things with the Wii remote that other demos at the show that year were not doing. The demo that they had was primarily the sequence where you're falling down the corridor after Ridley, which is, I'd say, like maybe a third of the way into the game.
Oh, that's before you go out with the other bounty hunters. That's really quick.
Oh, okay.
That's at the end of that opening area.
Oh, you're right. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
But it is a cool scene.
Yeah, it is. And it was very showy, looked awesome. You know, and it really showcased the pointer functionality because you were moving around a little bit with joystick, but you weren't really moving Samus around like normal.
Right. Yeah.
And it lets you focus on learning to shoot. I think it was a good choice for them. So, you know, we were excited by that, but of course they had footage and we had a very good idea of what this game would play like outside of that special sequence. And we knew that it would be a real Metroid Prime game. It was only 2 years since Metroid Prime Echoes, and that game had not performed all that well in sales.
But didn't it come out at the same time as Halo 2?
Came out on the same day as Halo 2.
Yeah, same day.
Yeah. Yeah, so it ended up selling not nearly as well as Metroid Prime 1. And to be fair, a lot of copies of the first Metroid Prime were given away for free with that promotion that Nintendo did with GameCube when you bought the system. But it sold really well also, and it sold over 1 million copies, and Echoes didn't do nearly that well. So I think they were trying to think of a few things that would maybe be a little more appealing, just change it up, make it seem... I don't know if they wanted to make it more like a first-person shooter, but at least appeal more to that crowd. At least try to get those people's attention without messing with the core of the game. And I thought they did a nice job. I mean, Metroid Prime 3 is definitely more action-oriented than the first two games. And not only that, the first two games certainly have lots of action. And I think the action in Metroid Prime 3 generally comes across as being a little more elegant, a little smoother, a little more responsive, and I think there's less fighting with the controls. And you know, that's impressive considering it was one, even in summer of 2007, late summer, it was still one of the first games to really use the first-person shooter Wii Remote control style that you now know from a lot of other games. This was before The Conduit, before Call of Duty came to the system. Before the main Call of Duty games. I guess Call of Duty Heroes 2 or whatever was before that. But this was the first major game that really showed off how to do it with the bounding box and with, you know, a few different control settings that let you adjust the sensitivity. And it was a big step, and it worked really well.
It did. We'll talk about it a little later, or the trilogy a little later, but when they brought the Corruption controls over to Prime 1 and 2, I thought those games played much better.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree on that point because those games weren't designed for that control scheme in the first place. So if you just simply prefer pointer controls, then you're going to prefer playing those games with pointer controls. Yeah. I tend to think different games respond differently to different control schemes. And so I think the first two games play fine with the pointer controls. But I played through the first two. I played mostly through Prime 2, actually, on the trilogy, because it had been longer since I'd played that one.
Yeah.
And I found that the controls, I didn't really have to think about it that much because I was already used to them from playing Corruption.
Right.
But mainly I played through that game again because I wanted to see how they'd adjusted the difficulty in a couple places, which was smart. It was a good thing to do. And also wanted to play it in widescreen and with all the other very minor but meaningful tweaks that Retro had made when they did the Trilogy Collection.
Yeah. I think the only thing that really kind of threw me for a loop was switching visors and beams. That wasn't nearly as smooth as just hitting the D-pad.
I agree. It's one of those things where if the remote or the nunchuck had a few more buttons, they probably would have put that on buttons.
Yeah. But Corruption, I really like it because it, I have problems with Echo's pacing, and I felt like Corruption kind of, I feel like it's more related to the first game in terms of exploration and pacing. It's much more linear. That bugs me. And you can't, you're going through distinct planets instead of finding shortcuts between areas. But I like it. I really love the art direction, especially that steampunk world you go on.
Actually, my favorite, I like a lot of levels in the game, but I think my favorite is the world where it's kind of half and half, like it's half fire, half ice. And,
oh, the reptilian world.
Yeah, and I love the architecture there where they have these giant lizard statues of their ancestors all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
Even the staging area where your ship lands, there's not that much to do in that area before you kind of start going down corridors and out into the world. But that area is so incredibly gorgeous, and there's so much unique artwork that only exists in that one room.
Yeah.
I love that. That's the attention to detail and the care that Retro puts in their games that I just love. And I love in the first person view, you can really kind of go all the way around this stuff, and you can really see it from a lot of different angles and just take your time and appreciate it, which you can't really do in a game like Donkey Kong Country Returns. There's a lot of detail in that game, but it's so fast paced and all that stuff is literally in the background that it's harder to appreciate that stuff. And Metroid really gives you the freedom and the control to just walk right up to something that looks cool and just stare at it and admire it. I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
But I mean, in terms of the world design, I'd say the first game, even though it is one continuous world, these elevators sort of link everything, and there's usually two or three different ways in and out of each area, but the areas are more or less self-contained. So you can go into it and feel like, well, this is kind of a manageable size, right? And I think one of the problems with Echoes is that, especially because there's the light world and the dark world, it gets really confusing. Back and forth. The puzzles require you to go back and forth a lot. You've got basically two maps layered on top of each other. And it's very clever. And I don't think anybody can argue with that. But
it's really good level design.
Yeah. But at some point it becomes a little overwhelming, you know.
Sure.
And sometimes by the time you get halfway to where you're going, you forget where you were going because the route is so complicated. And it takes so much of your attention just to keep moving, and the game's really hard, so you have to kind of really stay on your guard the whole time too. With Corruption, I think their idea was, let's move it back towards the design of the first game where each region is more or less self-contained and is a little bit easier to process, and let's do it in a way that doesn't feel formulaic, because the first two games, they just plop Samus on some planet you've never heard of and say, here's your planet.
Sure.
And if they did that three times in a row, it would probably start to feel really formulaic. So the idea here was to increase the scope of the game and make it feel like now you're exploring a whole galaxy and there's all these other characters and there's a bigger conflict here and there's story and there's dialogue, and to make it feel like you're really, like the game's really bigger than its predecessors, even though the amount of place that you can explore is really not any bigger. It's just more segmented. It's more divided up because there aren't these links from one region to the next like there were in the other games.
It's more obviously distinct.
Yeah, yeah. It's fundamentally not that much different than especially the first Metroid Prime, but it doesn't hide the cracks quite as well.
Right.
It sort of points them out. It's really obvious about, hey, these places aren't even really connected at all. We're just going to put you in the ship so we can do a loading screen.
Right.
And I love this. It does have a stronger sci-fi feel to it, because you spend more time in Samus's ship. You spend more time in these different space stations, whereas the first two games, the whole premise is you're sort of dumped on this planet that's more or less organic and primitive. You know,
right.
Maybe there's some remnant of ancient Chozo technology there, but it's mostly kind of buried in. They feel more archaeological, and that you're exploring these caves. It's very natural. In some cases, they've been invaded by these evil space pirates. But the third game, I mean, you go to places that are fairly active places, you know, where they're space station bases and things like that. And the whole game just has a much stronger, more blatant sci-fi feel to it.
And, well, especially the space pirate planet, which is never named, and that bugged me, but stuff's going on there all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and there's the base that you open the game in. There's just a lot of stuff like that, and there's even a space station that you visit towards the end of the game that's, you know, where you got places that are in vacuum, and
that's where all your keys come in handy.
Right, all the battery cells.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like that idea. What I don't like is the story that they tell. I mean, I think the idea of showing the origin of Mother Brain is really cool.
Yeah.
And especially this, they kind of really mess with your head, because throughout most of the game, these Mother Brain looking things are really your guide. They're your main source of information. You really have to follow their guidance and do what they say in order to make the game go forward. And you just have this feeling constantly that something really bad is going to happen, and one of these things is going to turn against you.
Right.
And it finally does at the end. And, you know, I love that. I don't love the other bounty hunters. I feel like that was misguided attempt to, I don't know, develop some kind of continuity with the DS game. Hunters or
same. You know, if you get 100% of the game, the final scene at the end of the credits is Samus's ship is being followed by a ship from hunters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is stupid.
They're not the same bounty hunters, but, you know, I always felt like, you know, yes, the old Metroid NES game manual describes Samus as being a bounty hunter, but they'd never really followed up on that very much.
No.
And I'm not saying they should retcon it out of the character's history, but I kind of felt like they didn't really need to explain that any more than it was already explained. And
no.
Quite frankly, bounty hunters don't really work in teams like that. You know, especially you can imagine a space bounty hunter like Han Solo, not interested in teaming up with other bounty hunters. You know, he wants it all for himself. So let's just take it on face value that Samus is doing this out of some kind of sense of personal gain. But occasionally her ethics overtake that, and she does what she just thinks is the right thing to do. But I don't like the idea that she's working for this space government and, you know, the Galactic Federation. I don't like the idea that she's working with other bounty hunters. That doesn't even make sense on the face of it. And I don't like the idea that they're all talking to her and calling her Sammy
They all know her. Obnoxious. They all know each other.
Yeah.
The thing that bugged me about the other bounty hunters was, you know, the second that cinematic started where they all get in a room and talk to that general from Texas, I knew right then, those are the bosses. I know I'm going to have to fight them.
Because they're so distinct. Like, the design of the characters just kind of screams, hey, these guys are going to be boss. They're not the biggest bosses in the game, but they're some of them, you know.
Yeah, they're almost mini-bosses for everything else.
And those fights are really cool.
Oh, they are.
They're challenging. They're interesting. They're all different, you know, and the characterizations, you know, because they get corrupted by the Phazon. So their characterizations are interesting to see before and after.
Sure.
But I don't like the way that they interact with Samus feels really out of place with the character as you know her. And it doesn't really feel like an improvement, right?
No.
So that's my problem with it. But I do think just mechanically, and to me, Metroid is all about the mechanics. I mean, I think the atmosphere is a lot, but the story of Metroid, I never cared about, really.
Yeah.
I care more about the mood and I care about more about the gameplay. And I think the gameplay in Corruption is really interesting because they start you out with most of the powers that you had at the end of Echoes.
Yep.
Not the light and the dark stuff. It makes sense for them to get rid of that because that really only was needed on that one planet.
Right.
But maybe the stuff you have at the end of the first Prime is maybe that's a better way to put it. But you start out really powerful and you have the Corruption suit, which lets you go into this crazy, you know, phase-on mode, hyper mode. And just deal crazy amounts of damage, but then there's this kind of risk reward thing, and you know, there sometimes you have to do it in order to proceed, even though it might feel like you don't want to because it feels like a naughty thing to do, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, you every time you find energy tanks, it means you can use that power more, as well as you just have more energy. So that's a big twist on the gameplay, and you don't use it all the time, but you use it enough that it feels like a really cool new power, and you just start the game out with that. And then from there, they add on even more and more and more. And then all the other power-ups they give you are things you've never done before.
Like the grapple beam, well, it's not called the grapple beam in the game. It's grapple lasso or lasso beam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, the problem, I think we probably talked about this way back when an episode of RFN, but to me, Corruption feels like the game that gives you a lot of new powers that just end up being keys, because a lot of your new powers that you get from real bosses are just new hyper mode powers, and they're basically used to unlock stuff or unlock doors in the game, and they don't have any use in combat.
Oh, they do, though. I mean, you can use them in combat. I thought the hyper ball, where you go into the morph ball and you basically just have these kind of spider tentacles of energy coming out of the morph ball, and they just sort of destroy anything that's even remotely close to you.
Oh, do they? I've never tried that.
Yeah, that it's really useful for getting rid of smaller enemies if they're swarming around you.
Oh, cool.
Very, very useful for that. And you can still, you know, it's a great thing about the morph ball. It's really fast, so you can still keep moving while you do that, while you lay waste all these enemies. So you can get out of trouble while killing a few of the guys on your way out.
Cool.
Yeah, you can use all that stuff in a practical sense. I mean, I think there's something funny about the game where the game actually allows you to use hyper mode a lot.
It does.
And it makes it's actually a very useful tool, but the way it's explained within the context of the story makes you not want to use it because it feels like it's dangerous or it feels like it's a bad thing to do.
Well, the first time you see a galactic soldier use it, he dies.
Right, exactly. And I think that's a mistake on Retro's part. They give you these really cool powers, including the phazon, the hyper missiles and the hyper ball and all that stuff that you get from the bosses. And then they kind of dissuade you psychologically from ever really taking full advantage of that stuff, even though it's very, very useful. And it's, for the most part, completely safe to use over and over again. So it's something that it actually took me the second time of me playing through the game before I really felt comfortable using hyper mode just whenever, you know.
Yeah.
And when you do that, the game feels even a little more balanced, although it's to begin with more balanced than the original version of Metroid Prime 2, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a really great game, and it was a long time ago. 2007 this game came out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had other M since then, which really is something completely different.
Yeah.
Retro hasn't worked on a Metroid game, as far as we know, since 2007. And I certainly don't think Corruption, you know, felt like an end point to the series. I mean, I think it wraps up towards the end and
it wraps up the Phazon storyline.
Right. Which I'm fine with. I think Phazon is a cool concept, but I think they stretched it just about as far as you could possibly stretch it.
Yeah, I don't think it belonged in Echoes. I felt like they shoehorned it into Echoes.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I mean, other than, you know, Dark Samus makes sense, but beyond that, I didn't really think they needed Phazon other than that character. But, you know, I think there's a lot more Retro could do with the franchise. And I'd especially like to see what they could do in HD on a new system and having 5-6 years of hindsight over the lessons that they learned doing Corruption, which is a very, very good game. Wasn't a huge sales success, but I think it did better than Echoes. And looking back on the system, I don't really think there's anything like it.
You know? No, there's not.
It really does feel just unique and on its own. And I mean, when the game first came out and I saw how beautiful it was and how how smoothly it controlled and played and how complex it was. I was afraid that they were going to try to make it a little more casual for the Wii, but they really didn't. It's still it's very deep and long and complicated game, and it really has all those things you want from a Metroid game. And yeah, it made me so excited to think what else could be done in this field. And you know, the closest thing I can think of is Other M, which really isn't much like it at all.
Yeah.
So I really hope they will come back to it at some point and sort of pick up where they left off and do more of this. But yeah, it's certainly one of my favorite Wii games, and I'm glad it made the list. And you know, I think if you don't already have Corruption and you can find a copy of Trilogy, which is probably kind of hard to find nowadays, but if you can find a copy of it, that is definitely the way to go, because it has the exact same version of Corruption. Plus, I think they added one extra difficulty level to
it. They did. Yep. They added an extra difficulty to all three.
Right, yeah. And then you have the greatly enhanced versions of the first two games, which are certainly easily both within my top five GameCube titles. So you just won't find a much better package of video games on any system. And there's so... I mean, for a long time, the Trilogy was my number one most played Wii title, because I'd played two 25-hour games on it. Until Xenoblade finally came out, there aren't that many games on Wii that you can play for 50 hours, even 100 hours probably. So it's a spectacular value. It's a really wonderful package. The the collector's edition stuff with the 10 game, you know, the game box and the poster inside. Mine came with a T-shirt. It's just fantastic presentation, wonderful enhancements they made to the first two games, and to have them right all there on the same disc is just awesome.
Yeah, and I we're running long, so I'll close it out, but I did want to say that I recently replayed Prime 1 on the Trilogy, and that game still looks gorgeous.
It's our game of the decade.
It is our game of the decade, but it's just amazing. It's from 2002 or 2003, and it still looks just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. So
yeah, it's because the art direction is so strong. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It was technically amazing even back in 2002, but the art direction is so prominent, and it really just doesn't look like anything that had ever come out before that, and so it'll always look good, always. Yep.
I think that's maybe my problem with Echoes is that, you know, the light world kind of looks the same, but then the dark world looks the same, and there's not as much differentiation in the environments or the individual sectors of that planet as Prime 1 or Corruption.
Hmm.
So maybe I need to replay that game. It's been a while.
Well, the Trilogy version's the way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Definitely. So there you have it, folks. That's our number 5, Metroid Prime Corruption / the Trilogy. If you don't have Corruption, go buy the Trilogy.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, if you can find it, like Johnny said, so... There you go, folks. Signing off, Zach Miller and Dr. Johnny Metz. Bye.
Bye.